Holy Gospel according to St. Luke 11, verses 1 to 13.
Praise and glory to God.
One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of the disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He then said to them, "When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation." Then he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have nothing to set before him.' Then the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me, the door is already locked, and my children are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of your fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" This is the Gospel of Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, as you have gathered from the readings, the theme for today is prayer. The way we approach prayer is probably somewhat different for each of us, and probably in our lives has changed over time as well. There may have been days when we just went through the motions, or when we just about forgot to pray. And there were other times when prayer was a lifeline that got us through some very difficult circumstances. There may have been times when we prayed desperately for something to happen, and often these desperate prayers were answered, though more often than not, probably in ways we did not envisage. While there are many questions as we look back on our prayers, we can also often give thanks for the ways in which God has taken our requests and turned our concerns around in ways we did not even imagine. Now, in our gospel reading, Jesus encouraged his listeners then and us now to be insistent in prayer, to not give up when things do not seem to go right. Rather, like someone insisting that a friend should help and then not giving up until that help is given, so should we continue to come to God in prayer repeatedly and bring our cares and concerns before Him. So, the question is, why doesn't God respond the first time we pray? After all, if our prayer is good in the eyes of God, if it furthers our walk with God and contributes to the flourishing of the world, why wouldn't God do something the first time we ask? Well, because that's not how prayer works. It's not magic through which we can get God to do what we want. It's not even the raising of good ideas which God hasn't thought about yet. It's not even a means to make us see the world God's way, though that gets a bit closer to the nature of prayer. Rather, prayer is a part of a relationship and even a powerful force through which we are connected to God. It's a trust that sustains not only us, but also the world in general. That's why it's not a one-off, but something that requires commitment, trust, and perseverance. So in our personal lives, we can probably point to times when we have prayed and God has answered in maybe somewhat unexpected ways. We can also remember times when we saw no resolution, when even our passionate prayers seemed to have made little difference. But overall, many of us have seen amazing provision through our prayers in our lives. But what about the prayers we bring here in our church and personally for the world? Ever since I really listened to church prayers, I have to confess, and as a child I always didn't always listen. Well, ever since I really listened to them, I have heard prayers for peace in this world. And I'm sure prayers for peace were earnestly prayed before my time too. And yet there seems to be little peace in our world. Indeed, we live at a time when peace has been shattered violently, and many countries are investing record amounts in weapons, and talk of disarmament has receded. What of our prayers of peace? Are they just too small in the face of so much evil? And yet, I think those prayers are necessary, essentially even, for keeping the threat of violence and war at bay, for limiting the human tendency for destruction. For we know that even quite recently, prayers for peace have had a great impact. As you know, I was in Europe recently, mostly in Switzerland, but we also went to Germany to visit my brother, the one who preached here last Sunday, and he now lives in Erfurt in the former East Germany. While in the city, walking around there, I noticed a memorial plaque outside a Catholic church there. It said that in 1978, ecumenical peace prayers were started in the church as a response to the introduction of defense studies as a compulsory subject in high schools in East Germany. The government had the idea that with the introduction of these defense studies, all children should learn about military requirements and get prepared for armed service. It should motivate them to be good soldiers, not only by being physically prepared, but also mentally. According to the documents of the time, the main aim of the new subject was to instill in students a clear understanding of who the friends and who the enemies of the state were, and a willingness to be part of the defense of the state. Now, dissent was very difficult at the time in East Germany, but the churches opposed the introduction of this new compulsory subject, defense studies, in high schools. They said that it would increase militarization of society and threaten the gradual warming of relationships between East and West. But of course, their concerns were brushed aside. A small group of women didn't want to give up, and all they could think of was to pray. So every Thursday afternoon at 5 p.m., they gathered at the St. Lawrence Church in Erfurt to pray for peace year after year. It was something they could do, but of course, initially, to very little effect. More and more young people got ready for service, and more money was invested in arms, and peace between East and West seemed further away than ever. And yet, those peace prayers spread in East Germany. In 1982, just over 3 years later, peace prayers followed in other churches there, and in the city of Leipzig, those peace prayers were held on Mondays. By that stage, they did not only include asking for a more peaceful society, but were also seen as a way of bringing the oppressive state regime before God, and at the same time to the attention of the world. Criticism of the state in some form became part of the peace prayers, and so the regime tried to stop them. This gave them even more attention, and in 1989, a protest march developed from the peace prayers in Leipzig. This movement spread around the country, and more people began to join in. The police and army, who had been tasked to contain any protests, did not know how to handle them. And so they also spread to Berlin, where on 9th of November 1989, the Berlin Wall fell. So when those women in 1978 met to pray for peace, they did not think that it would lead to the fall of the Berlin Wall 11 years later. Of course, there are many factors that led to the fall, not only of the wall, but the regime as a whole. Still, no historian can write that history without acknowledging the importance of prayer. Now, I don't know to what extent these prayers changed the people that were praying them, and to what extent they influenced people beyond the church walls. I can't look into the mysteries of how God responded to and used these prayers, but I do know that they had an effect. Of course, that doesn't mean that now the prayers have achieved something, they are no longer needed. Indeed, I do know that the area of former East Germany has many issues today and seems to move further away from God's good purposes. It still needs prayer. For if there is no prayer, people and societies with them have the tendency to return to their default setting of distance from God and from the ways of goodness. So it's maybe with that in mind that we can also turn to our somewhat strange reading from the book of Genesis. Here we read about Abraham bargaining with God about the future of Sodom. Is that what prayer is about, arguing and wrestling with God? Well, that's sometimes how prayer does proceed, for it is an intense part of our relationship with God. Notice how God gives way to Abraham's arguments, but in the end still proceeds in his actions because, well, he can't find 10 righteous people in Sodom. And so Abraham has to see that Sodom is indeed beyond redemption, that God's plans for a new beginning are more wholesome. And yet the Bible does encourage us to fervently wrestle with God in prayer and does promise that the prayers of us weak humans are not disregarded by God, but are heard by God and do have an effect in the history of the world. The story also reminds us how cities, people, societies even, can fall into destruction without prayer. The sin and destruction of Sodom was so great that a cry went to God. People experienced the injustice of Sodom and prayed for relief from God. And God heard and was resolved to bring a new beginning. In a sense, Abraham's intercession was to be weighed up against the prayers of unnamed others. And God weighed up the prayers of the people and did what God judged to be for the good of this world. Our prayers are part of that relationship between heaven and earth. Whether their concern is more personal or wider, they sustain not only us, but also the world, and they bring change in ways we cannot even understand. Well, in our time away, I also met some missionaries who talked about their work in a country, sort of between Asia and Europe somewhere. It's a country where trying to convert someone to Christianity is forbidden and severely punished. So open mission isn't allowed, but praying is allowed. And so one of the main ways in which those missionaries witness is through prayer and worship. By coming together with other Christians in prayer, they give an example of trust in God and have seen people come to faith. More so than many other efforts, prayer can be a powerful witness, not only by proclaiming our trust in God, but also by shaping our own lives and that of the people around us. Of course, one could say that many efforts soon fail if they are not undergirded by prayer. At times, prayer is hard, particularly if we have been disappointed, but also if we have little care or longing, for prayer comes out of an attitude of care and concern, not one of resignation. Jesus encouraged us not to give up, for Jesus' vision of prayer is wider than anything we can understand. Prayer is more important than we can imagine, impacts us more than we know, and affects the world more than we can understand. That's why we are asked to continuously come to God, our Heavenly Father, who gives good gifts to his children and best of all, the Holy Spirit, to those who ask and trust in him.